Welcome to another edition of San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley. Without further ado, enjoy the program.
Sponsorship of this program was provided by...
On the western side of the unique San Luis Valley is a place of endless high-altitude desert valley views, hidden rivers, waterfalls, and a valley floor that leads to lush foothills and majestic mountains proud with tall pine trees and abundant wildlife. Among clear blue sparkling daytime skies and deep nighttime darkness, unhindered by city lights and sprinkled with bright twinkling stars that have fascinated, guided, and inspired mankind since ancient times, you'll find Fay Moon Wolf Designs. As you step through the door to be greeted by Crow Wolf and Katie, a husband and wife team that together create beautiful, authentic leathercraft, beadwork, jewelry, and more, you'll soon know this is not your typical gift shop. You are stepping into a culture rich in history, beauty, love, sacrifice, tragedy and triumph, survival and pride of heritage. Crow Wolf keeps the traditional way of leather crafting and the art of jewelry creation as has been passed down to him by the elders, and he keeps those precious traditions alive through his handcrafted work. Katie is an herbalist as well as a Reiki master and teacher. She uses her skills and knowledge to handcraft a vast array of herbal teas. As well, she is an accomplished artist working with stunning gemstones and seed bead designs. She and Crow Wolf bring their bead and leatherwork craft expertise together for gorgeous leatherwork with beaded designs. Fay Moon Wolf Design is located in the beautiful and historic town of Del Norte, right on 160 in the San Luis Valley, and features some of the local talented artists. Located at 730 Grand Avenue, this unique gift shop and art gallery is easily accessible and is certainly a not-to-be-missed venture, whether you live in the valley or you're just passing through. As if authentic leathercraft, jewelry, beadwork, and herbal teas weren't enough, Fay Moon Wolf Designs will also be your favorite place to find other lovingly handcrafted gifts by local artists, books written by local authors, native flute music CDs, photography, and more. The extensive inventory is sure to please everyone on your gift list and afford you the opportunity to spoil yourself with something special, something unique, and something authentic. Maybe you have your own design in mind. Katie and Crow Wolf have that covered as well. Talk to them about custom orders. Share your vision with them, and there's no doubt something beautiful will come forth. Please visit their website at FayMoonWolfDesigns.com. That's FayMoonWolfDesigns.com. And take a look at their Etsy site as well. You'll enjoy reading the reviews of praise from very happy customers. Shipping is also available, but the best way is to stop in and say a happy Hoka Hey and have your own first-hand enchanting journey of seeing years of experience and generations of skilled craftsmanship turned into beautiful works of art. From moccasins to boots to jewelry to music, books, wallets, and so much more, you'll be fascinated. You aren't entering just a gift shop. You are entering an experience you won't forget. So plan a visit to Fay Moon Wolf Designs at 730 Grand Avenue in Del Norte, Colorado. Or call Crow Wolf or Katie at 719-859-2656. That's 719-859-2656. Fay Moon Wolf Designs, inspired by Mother Earth.
Passion, pageantry, art, music, and ancient traditions. It's all at the 8th Annual Sawatch Community Powwow. Presenting in this podcast, a beautiful story and points to ponder are Crow Fox, Crow Wolf, and his wife Katie. These three people strive to educate and communicate beautifully the challenges of Indigenous people, both those that they face, as well as challenges they've overcome. They share a message echoed by thousands of others. Listen, hear them, and be changed by what you hear. The powwow takes place at Otto Mears Park in Sawatch, Colorado on August 24th and 25th. You are invited to this beautiful experience.
I'm Adam, and coming up in August, the 24th and 25th in Sawatch, Colorado, is the annual Sawatch Powwow. And here to tell us all about what's going on and a whole lot more are Crow Wolf, Katie, and Crow Fox. Start the questions out with you, Crow Wolf. We'll just go around the table. Where are you originally from, sir?
My family's from South Dakota, the Pine Ridge area. We moved around a lot after my dad got out of the military, so I was taken away from that culture. Raised as a young man in our culture until I lost my dad at age 15. And I taught myself after that and kept doing the business that I do now, making moccasins all my life, learned from the elders, and just took it from there. And now it's a thriving business.
Well, that's wonderful. How did you end up in the San Luis Valley?
Me and Katie kept coming out here to visit. She fell in love with the valley, and what she wants, she gets.
Ah.
So I said, okay, let's find a place. After the third time of coming up here, going back, and her planning the very next trip the minute we got back. So I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. This trip, we will find a place and we will move. We found a place, we talked to them, went back, got a phone call. It's yours. When do you want to move in? We got that taken care of, and we've been here ever since, growing our business, getting our shop going, and working with Crow Fox now to work on the powwow and grow that, because I see it getting bigger than where it is.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do here?
I make moccasins as well as other leather craft. I do custom pieces for people. I help people when they have questions. I'm all about trying to educate when I can. I'm busier with doing the leather work, so I don't have a whole lot of time to do most anything else. Working 7 days a week, 365 days, we're busy.
I understand that. How did you become involved with the eighth annual Sawatch Community Powwow?
We started going to it as soon as we found it. We started going every year. We met Crow Fox last year. Katie was there with her photography stuff, and she went in to dance, and I was standing there being security over her stuff, and Crow Fox came over and asked me why I wasn't in circle. And I flat out told her, I'm security, and I'm watching the photographer stuff. And we chit-chatted for a little bit, and we've been friends basically ever since.
What do you wish you had known when you started out?
That's a loaded question, because there's lots of things I wish I would have known over 20 years ago that I know now. Life is all about learning. And I would prefer to keep learning than say I know everything.
Well, Katie, where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Texas and grew up everywhere but Texas. Ended up in the San Luis Valley. My grandparents retired out here when I was really young, closer to Villa Grove, outside of Villa Grove. And I think it just got in my blood. This valley it's really special to me. And so I spent a lot of summers and a lot of holidays coming out to Villa Grove. We'd travel into Sawatch and go get groceries. If it was a big grocery shop, we'd go to Alamosa. I just loved it. So we were living in Trinidad, and we were coming out here as much as we could. We'd bring all of our work with us. We'd pile the truck up with leather and be making moccasins. And so we moved. Here we are.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do?
Like he was saying, I do photography. I help him with the leather craft. I do some beadwork, some jewelry making. I make teas.
You're a Reiki master too.
Yes, I am a Reiki master. I haven't been doing any, I don't see people doing Reiki in that sense here, but I know it's an energy and it flows through, I'm sure, anything that I'm doing, even the artwork. And so, yeah, that's kind of what I do.
Obviously, you became involved last year, as Crow Wolf was saying, with the Sawatch Powwow. What do you wish you had known when you started out?
Oh my gosh, so much, like him too. I wish I'd known how much patience it was going to take. Just a lot of things. I wish I'd known just how much it would become a part of me, which again is a good thing, but not realizing how much what we do has become our entire everything. I mean, just everything we do is revolved around the stuff that we create and make together. And I think I might have planned a little bit differently had I known that in the beginning. Maybe not so many hikes on my calendar or something, but...
Rounding out the group here, we want to welcome as well to the table Crow Fox. You're from Sawatch. Where are you originally from?
First, it's important to acknowledge that this is Ute territory, and the Ute Nation has been the original caretaker of this land, and we are on their territory, and it's a privilege and an honor to be here, and it's a privilege and an honor to have the powwow on their territory. I am originally from Michigan. I grew up all over Michigan. My grandmother is from South Dakota. My mother grew up in the Carolinas and the Virginias as a military child. I was brought out to the Valley to visit in 1998 by grandmother Twyla and a friend named Judy. And I fell in love with the mountains and fell in love with the Valley. And grandmother Twyla spent years teaching me out here every summer. And when I moved out here in 2009, I fell in love with the people and decided to stay.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do here?
I currently am a special education paraprofessional over at Moffitt School. I started out here in finance for Sawatch County. I absolutely enjoyed both positions and continue to be with Moffitt School now.
Well, how did you become involved with the annual Sawatch Community Powwow?
I actually am the founder of the powwow. There were events all over the valley for Cowboy Days, Latino events, and other celebrations of community and things like that. But there was nothing annual that celebrated Indigenous heritage. And there's a lot of Indigenous heritage out here. So we wanted something special. We wanted something that was community-oriented, family-oriented, and would draw in everyone where we could get everyone involved through intertribal dances and share multiple Indigenous cultures and bring back the pride in Native American heritage that was lacking in this valley. And we're happy to say a lot of people have started joining the conversation now about their Indigenous heritage and Indigenous sites around their communities, Indigenous sites around the valley. And people are asking more questions, and people were supportive of the Standing Rock movement, and people are supportive of the Mauna Kea that's going on now. And so it's really opened up and blossomed a beautiful conversation and brought back a lot of pride.
Well, you were telling us, too, before we came up to the studio, that there's a lot of preservation of the Ute history here, too, that's going on in the valley.
There are ranchers who have found artifacts and sacred sites on their land. They have contacted official organizations who work to preserve these sites. They have actively been involved in working with these organizations, in documenting through photographs and written documentation. These organizations have contacted the Ute Nation in Ignacio to notify them of these finds, and there are beautiful, beautiful locals working to preserve these things on their private property, as well as organizations working to preserve the petroglyphs that are on public lands.
Let's take a look at a little bit of the history here. You said this is the 8th annual Sawatch Community Powwow, and you are the founder.
I am the founder and have had a lot of help. We discovered that the original powwow was going on a little over 20 years ago, and that was begun by a friend of mine who wanted to celebrate heritage for her children, and her children are now adults. And there was a 20-year gap we didn't know about that I wish we had known about when we first started organizing this powwow. So in 2010, we started organizing the powwow. In 2011, we actually held our first official event, and it has grown from there.
What kind of activities are expected? I understand it's a 2-day event this year.
Yes, this year is a 2-day event. We have food vendors, we have craft vendors, we have artworks. We have many different dances. We have exhibition dances. We have intertribal dances where the whole community is invited to join us. We honor the veterans. We honor the elders. We honor the community. We honor the children. There's a lot going on both days.
And what time do the activities start and end each day?
Vendors start setting up at 7 a.m. The park opens to the public at 9 a.m. And between 11 and 11:30, our MC calls for everyone to line up for grand entry.
What is grand entry?
Grand entry is where the veterans line up with the flags and all our dancers line up, and we go in to the circles in a ceremonial, respectful way. And as we're going around the circle, the flags are placed appropriately, the veterans are honored, our elders are honored, and everyone gets to see who the dancers are and what the regalia looks like.
What else would you like people to know as they plan their visit to Sawatch for the annual Sawatch Community Powwow?
Our MC is Lexi Long Soldier, and he takes the time to educate everyone on the different dances, especially during the exhibition dances. He also likes to joke and laugh a lot, and he likes to share Indigenous history. He likes to talk about the culture. He likes to get people involved and invite the entire community to the intertribal dances, which are open for everyone, and we encourage everyone to join us. We expect a lot of attendance this year. We normally have about 300 people every year. We expect that to double this year, so we're crossing our fingers. We expect more dancers this year, and we have two drums.
I saw it mentioned, too, in your literature, a sacred hoop. What is that?
I can only speak to what I was taught about the sacred hoop. Lekshi Longsoldier has talked about it. Grandmother Twyla taught me about it. And it is the sacred connectedness among our people. The circle is very sacred, and it's described as a hoop. And on that hoop is all of our relatives, from the newborn to the oldest. That hoop is our connectedness to each other and our interactions in our community. And the sacredness is how we treat each other. We speak in a good way. We're respectful. We're polite. We honor each other. We honor all of our relatives, from the crawling ant to the winged ones flying in the sky. We honor all of the four-legged. We honor the stones, the grasses, the trees. We honor everything. And we honor each other. And in doing so, we are recognizing that every day we are to live in a sacred manner and a respectful manner.
I'll open this up to anybody who wants to answer, or we can go around the table on this too. If you could plant one seed of thought into our minds about Indigenous people, what would that be? In other words, what new thought or insight would you like people to walk away with if they come and attend your annual Sawatch Community Powwow?
We as an Indigenous people face a lot of stereotypes. We would like people to come away with the knowledge that we are intelligent. We are part of the human family. We have a lot of culture, rich in heritage, and we are asking people to give Indigenous people the microphone. There are a lot of environmental issues happening. There are a lot of social issues happening. The United Nations have recognized Indigenous people and our cultures as the way of survival for humanity. So we ask that you give Indigenous people the microphone, listen to our elders, listen to the many different cultures that are on Turtle Island, which is the North American continent. We ask you to pay attention to what's going on with Standing Rock and with Mauna Kea and down at the border with the Carrizo Comecrudo people. There is a great love for culture and for each other and for this planet. And we need you to listen. We need people to pay attention. And we need you to stand up and be our ally. And we need you to give the microphone and the platform to the Indigenous people and listen to what they have to say and integrate that into your daily lives.
Crow Fox, you were saying before we started that you do see some of this changing across the nation.
We do see a lot of changes across the nation. We see people listening about environmental concerns. We see people trying to integrate aspects of our culture into their lives. And we're hoping that people do it in a good and respectful way, rather than taking our culture and claiming it as their own, which is appropriation. We would like to see people approach our elders, approach our families, and ask in respectful ways, what can we do to honor the earth? How can we change our lifestyle to live in harmony with nature? And we see that happening. We see people approaching us privately at the powwow and other Indigenous events and open discussion about how to live more respectfully upon the earth and how to honor Indigenous ways without risking appropriation.
If you could dispel one incorrect or preconceived notion about Indigenous people or your celebrations or both, what would that be?
It's the preconceived notion of what a true warrior is. The world out here, off the reservation, they say warrior and they think we're all bloodthirsty savages, which I have been called, as well as many other things. In the Lakota way, a warrior takes care of the family, the children, the elders. We eat last to make sure the women, children, and elders always have food. If there's not enough, we'd go hungry. I've done it, and I don't know a warrior brother or sister that hasn't done it in life. The preconceived notions, when they hear us talking warrior, is we are nothing but a dirty savage. We are not. We are educated. We're smart. We take care of our own. Our elders do not get put in a home and left. It's better to have them at home being taken care of. Same with our children and our women. It is us to raise the next generation, to make sure they are taught, make sure they know the ways. That's the true heart of warrior, not to just think of war all the time. And that's how I try to live every day.
That is part of the stereotype as well, too, is, you know, I personally had some experiences as him and I were forming our relationship and it was becoming more serious. And I guess it was a little after we were together and he wanted to take me home to Pine Ridge. And there was some stereotypes from people that I knew that came about that, you know, he might hurt me. I might not be welcome. It was all stereotype. Yeah, his role is to protect me. My personal experience is that he is absolutely a warrior, but there's this peace in there. There's this, it's not like, you know, I'm coming at you. And that was a stereotype, though, that we encountered. And this was in Denver. This was in Denver, Colorado, as we were getting ready to travel. So it's not just in one pocket or another, but he's an amazing husband. One thing I would really like people to take away as well, maybe not at the powwow, just interacting with Indigenous peoples, is that notion that Native Americans drink and are drunk. And that bothers me a lot. It bothers me a lot. Crow Wolf is nothing of that stereotype. And I've encountered that multiple times when we've traveled through people I thought were friends. I would like people to have an interaction in a good way, where it's just a community of people coming together, and that all this preconceived notion can just melt away, and people can have that experience of, I had a good interaction, I had a good time. And that's just one little piece. That's just one little small thing there.
Crow Fox, what about you? Preconceived notion that you could dispel.
I would have to say all of these mascots that we see all over the country. The mascots are an attempt to display an entire ethnic group. It's different than being called a cowboy. A cowboy is not an ethnic group. It is a lifestyle. When you have a mascot for a school, whether it's a high school or a junior high school or a college or a university or a national team, the problem with that is the attempt to define an entire ethnic group. We are not your mascot. We are human beings. And your mascots dehumanize us. So we are in a polite and respectful battle at times, and sometimes it's not so polite and respectful, to be recognized as human beings, to eliminate the use of mascots, to show some respect for who and what we are. The mascots that are being used, we often hear, well, we're honoring you. So we have a Native fellow who has created a t-shirt that reads Caucasians, much like the Cleveland Indians, with a caricature of a redneck next to the name. And when non-Indigenous people get really upset when he shows up at sporting events, his response is, but I'm honoring you. So we see from that example that non-Indigenous people do in fact realize that they're not honoring us, they're not respecting us, they're not showing any semblance of respect or concern towards us as human beings. They're still seeing us as a stereotype, and it's time for that to end. Maine has already passed a law at the state level where it is illegal to have Indigenous mascots of any kind. So bravo, Maine, we're really grateful for that. We are going to see that introduced here in Colorado and other states as well, because it's time for this dehumanization of an entire ethnic group to end.
You know, on that, something else too is that I see people lump all Indigenous peoples together as, each tribe has their own culture. They're individual. There are some things that cross through all tribes, but I also wish that people could recognize, that the Lakota have some differences than the Navajo.
What I am able to get from Katie that she's driving at is that there are over 500 different Indigenous nations. There are unique languages. There are unique cultural practices. There are unique spiritual practices that do not cross over. That uniqueness is often missed in non-Indigenous society. We're often lumped together, and that is a huge no-no, if you will. Recognize us as individual cultures and recognize us with individual languages. Our languages are beautiful regardless of which Indigenous culture you're looking at or referring to. The spiritual practices are unique to each culture, and sometimes they're even unique right down to each family within a culture might have a little bit different practices, different prayer songs that have been passed down from father to son, mother to daughter, in that line. And so even among our own tribal cultures, we find minute differences from family to family. And it's very important to recognize the uniqueness between cultures. The Utes have their own unique culture. Lakotas have their own unique culture. Navajos, Hopi, Diné have their own unique culture. All of these different cultures should be recognized and honored as unique and separate from each other. We don't cross over.
Tell us some of the history of the music and art of Indigenous people. Much of it is very rich in meaning, as we understand, but let's face it, many of us don't understand it. So if you could, you know, take us into your world for a minute. Describe the majesty of this.
Well, we can't speak on the Ute.
Okay.
Because none of us are a Ute sitting at this table.
Okay. That's fair enough.
The Lakota history goes far back. As far back as we can name the very first ancestor that walked on the plains, or further back, because I can trace our people as far back as before we even got to the plains, when we were called the people of the lakes in Wisconsin. Then we got pushed out onto the plains, then we became the lords of the plains. We come clear over from the East Coast, and the Lakota kept moving and moving and moving. Once we hit the plains, that was ours, and we defended it. Our history, our culture, our art is our own. Same with our speaking with our hands, our hand language, our words. It all evolved over time, just like our brothers of Cheyenne, the Blackfoot. All of our art might be a little the same, same, same. We all use some of the same symbols. We do paintings, painting by stick the old way, with paints that were made from the land, natural paints. Same with honoring the buffalo and everything we hunt, and honoring our ancestors in every day, honoring the land that we walk upon. Our artwork is who we are. That shows who we are. When I do a piece of artwork that comes from my heart, that's part of me. Same with any of my brothers and sisters. Our artwork, our history, is who we are, and it goes back very far. Same with our culture, our dances, the way we communicate, even right down to the way we have feasts. It's all a part of who we are and how we handle every day. When I call myself a warrior, it's because I take care of my family. My family's not just blood. It's my extended family. If I'm called upon to help, I don't say no. I say I will be there. I jump in my vehicle and I go. And that's what a true Indigenous man does. He takes care of who needs to be taken care of.
Oh, that's powerful. Wow. Kropax, did you have anything to add to that?
Well, my mother talked a lot about my grandmother and my mother both having horses. And they talked about the brothers, my uncles, painting the horses and how the horses like to look pretty and they have an ego and they wanted to be painted. And so when you painted the designs on the horses, you were very careful to make the horse look beautiful and with lots of colors and designs. And the designs often had meaning. And the horse would work better with you and be more friendly to you and create a greater bond with you if the horse felt that it was beautiful. And so the stories they've told me about painting the horses, I found to be very enlightening regarding the artwork that was on the horses and taught me a lot about the attitude of horses. I have friends that have horses that allow my children to work with the horses. And watching the interaction of my kids with the horses, I see the truth in those stories I've been told, how the horses like to prance and they like to show their pride and they like to show their power and they like to show off, basically. And painting the horses helped them feel prettier and more majestic about themselves and, you know, going into battle, if you will. The horses loved to be painted because they felt stronger and more powerful. And those are men's stories to tell, so I'm going to digress on that one. But the stories that my grandmother and mother told me about going out and painting their horses and riding their horses, it just really brings a lot of happiness to me to see that kind of artwork from anyone else, whether it's ledger art, museum art, what have you. It just brings those stories to the forefront and makes them real.
Well, I think something to keep in mind, too, you said painting horses. It's not like you're going down to the local paint store and buying this toxic stuff and sticking it over the horses. This all comes from natural herbs and plants.
Yep.
Plant-based
yes.
paints, earth-based paints, ochre, powders from the earth, things along those lines.
And every warrior had different designs for his horse.
They did.
To make him feel great in battle. My last war pony, he had his own specific marks that only I put on him to make him strong, make him fast when we'd take off across the prairie. And he would run. And he was a true war pony from back home. His bloodline went back 1,000 years.
Really?
He was a beautiful black and white. And he had a gait that I could just lean down over his neck and wrap and just go. As long as he wanted to run, I'd give him his head. No bridle, no bit, and he would just take off. We were friends. There was no man over beast. He was my best friend.
You create a bond between the two.
When we create our bond, I went head to head with him. We breathed each other's breath. I never broke him. I befriended him. And he had my back. And anytime I wanted to go somewhere, he was ready to go. He'd look at me like, okay, let's go. I want to go too. And he did.
That's incredible. I'll just kind of throw this around the table. What are some of the biggest challenges Indigenous people are facing in our society today?
Working at a school, I can tell you it's the conflict with history and holidays. We are often minimalized. And I'm very blessed to work at a school that allows me to talk to the students in the classrooms and teach them the Indigenous side when it comes to holidays and holiday practices and misnomers about history, misconceptions about history. And students find that very enlightening. And Moffitt School is extremely diverse for as small as it is. So being able to share these things with the student body and with the educators there is very important to me and very important to my children. So I'm very grateful to be in a situation where we can talk about those things, because those are often in conflict with what mass society learns, colonial society learns.
Anything you want to add to that?
Most of what children learn in their history books about us, any native in this country, I can lay our history book down right beside a history book from most schools and point out, going all the way through their history, of what they write about us versus our histories, and show them. My mother had a fight with a school when I first went to my first school, because I knew my history. Teacher didn't like it. So we brought my history book to say, right there, what he was saying, right there.
It isn't just Indigenous people facing that. African Americans face that too, with a rewriting of history according to the colonial point of view. And it often leaves something out for the cultures that are seen as less than. So public schools in general really are the ones who have these federal government approved history books that really downgrade or negate the value of Indigenous people and the value of African American people and the value of minorities specific to their own contributions to this land, this country. You don't read about the code talkers from World War II in the history books in high school. I know, because I've looked. Those things are just kind of washed away, or whitewashed, if you will, and removed as if they never happened, until some kid in college or some adult decides to happenstance come across a documentary about it and watch it. Well, why aren't you taught that in junior high and high school? Public schools in general tend to diminish the importance of minority groups, whether it's Indigenous people or African American people or Asian contributions to this country. So we really need to look at the public school issue rather than a white school versus any other kind of school, because that gets into an ethnic issue, and it's really a governmental issue with public schools because they are federally and state funded. And so really, that's where the control is as to what you learn in the schools, is the federal and state level, instead of actually being able to delve into real history and what really happened and what are the real contributions. You have these state and federally approved curricula that diminish the contributions of minorities.
To wrap up, let's touch again on the annual Sawatch Powwow. It's happening August 24th and 25th, and that's at Automears Park?
Automears Park in Sawatch, yes.
And some of the things that are going on include?
Well, like I said, we have vendors, food vendors, we have art vendors, we have craft vendors, and art and craft is, you know, painting versus, you know, making jewelry or moccasins or beadwork. So there's the differentiation. We have many different dances. Lexi Long Soldier, who is the MC, will explain all of the dances, but we have like Fancy Shawl, for example. We're hoping to have a hoop dancer this year. Grass dancers, women's fancy dance. We're hoping that these dances, different dances, will be displayed. The crow hop, the chicken dance, many different kinds of dances. And again, with the intertribal, That's where everybody, native or not, can get up and join us and dance with us, and it's all part of building community.
What about places to stay if someone wanted to come up, say, Saturday and stay till Sunday? Are there accommodations there at Sawatch?
Sawatch does not have a lot of accommodations. There is Sawatch Lodge. There is camping there. There are RV sites there. There are some very limited RV sites in town. There's also the High Valley or Big Valley Motel in Sawatch. There is camping and other accommodations over at Joyful Journey Hot Springs. So if people get online and start looking around San Luis Valley for accommodations, there's plenty of hotels in Alamosa, which is about 45 minutes away. There might be some places in Monta Vista and Del Norte.
I'm going to say we're 35 minutes away in Monta Vista, so right. a little closer.
Right. And so there are places that people can stay that will require a bit of driving, but once you're in San Luis Valley, you'll see that everywhere you go requires some driving. Lots of open space, beautiful area. Come on out to the powwow. Come join us with dancing. Come have fun. There's a lot to see. There's a lot to do. There's a lot of people to talk to.
All right. Well, Crow Wolf, Katie, Crow Fox, I want to thank you all for coming by the studio and talking to us about the 8th annual Sawatch Community Powwow happening August 24th and 25th at Otto Mears Park. I look forward to seeing everybody up there, and come on out and enjoy this. This is going to be a fascinating and educational event.
Thank you for having us today.
Yes.
Thank you.
Our gratitude to Crow Fox, Crow Wolf, and Katie Kelly for coming to talk with us and taking us into their world and their experience for a while. The staff at SL Voices are proud to have helped in our small way to have them tell their story. Again, the 8th annual Sawatch Community Powwow is August 24th and 25th in Sawatch, Colorado, in the heart of downtown Sawatch at Otto Mears Park. See you there!
Sponsorship for the podcast you just heard was provided by...
On the western side of the unique San Luis Valley is a place of endless high-altitude desert valley views, hidden rivers, waterfalls, and a valley floor that leads to lush foothills and majestic mountains proud with tall pine trees and abundant wildlife. Among clear blue sparkling daytime skies and deep nighttime darkness, unhindered by city lights and sprinkled with bright twinkling stars that have fascinated, guided, and inspired mankind since ancient times, you'll find Fay Moon Wolf Designs. As you step through the door to be greeted by Crow Wolf and Katie, a husband and wife team that together create beautiful, authentic leather craft, beadwork, jewelry, and more, you'll soon know this is not your typical gift shop. You are stepping into a culture rich in history, beauty, love, sacrifice, tragedy and triumph, survival and pride of heritage. Crow Wolf keeps the traditional way of leather crafting and the art of jewelry creation as has been passed down to him by the elders, and he keeps those precious traditions alive through his handcrafted work. Katie is an herbalist as well as a Reiki master and teacher. She uses her skills and knowledge to handcraft a vast array of herbal teas. As well, she is an accomplished artist working with stunning gemstones and seed bead designs. She and Crow Wolf bring their bead and leatherwork craft expertise together for gorgeous leatherwork with beaded designs. Fay Moon Wolf Design is located in the beautiful and historic town of Del Norte, right on 160 in the San Luis Valley, and features some of the local talented artists. Located at 730 Grand Avenue, this unique gift shop and art gallery is easily accessible and is certainly a not-to-be-missed venture, whether you live in the valley or you're just passing through. As if authentic leathercraft, jewelry, beadwork, and herbal teas weren't enough, Fay Moon Wolf Designs will also be your favorite place to find other lovingly handcrafted gifts by local artists, books written by local authors, native flute music CDs, photography, and more. The extensive inventory is sure to please everyone on your gift list and afford you the opportunity to spoil yourself with something special, something unique, and something authentic. Maybe you have your own design in mind. Katie and Crow Wolf have that covered as well. Talk to them about custom orders. Share your vision with them, and there's no doubt something beautiful will come forth. please visit their website at FayeMoonWolfDesigns.com. That's FayeMoonWolfDesigns.com. And take a look at their Etsy site as well. You'll enjoy reading the reviews of praise from very happy customers. Shipping is also available, but the best way is to stop in and say a happy Hoka Hey and have your own first-hand enchanting journey of seeing years of experience and generations of skilled craftsmanship turned into beautiful works of art. From moccasins to boots to jewelry to music, books, wallets, and so much more, you'll be fascinated. You aren't entering just a gift shop. You are entering an experience you won't forget. So plan a visit to Faye Moon Wolf Designs at 730 Grand Avenue in Del Norte, Colorado, or call Crow Wolf or Katie at 719-859-2656. That's 719-859-2656. Faye Moon Wolf Designs, inspired by Mother Earth.
We appreciate you telling your friends to listen to the podcast on slvoices.com and check out our extensive calendar of events, more listings in one location than any other website around. You can help spread the word, too, by joining our Facebook group, SL Voices, Your Voice in the San Luis Valley, and liking our posts on other social media outlets. Also, check out our Instagram page for behind-the-scenes looks at what we do. And please, patronize our local sponsors. Remember to support the businesses here in the Valley. Most are owned and operated by your friends, family, and neighbors. We all love this area and want to see it flourish. And you can help by buying and supporting locally in your own and surrounding communities. Check back for another local podcast soon. Until then, this has been San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley.